Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want us to look at this New Year's, and you know, New Year's affects us kind of differently, you know, depending on our, you know, mindset. Kind of like, wow, it's going to be 2018. Back when I was a kid in 19 whatever, you didn't even think the world was going to last this long, or it seemed like, you know, 2018, well, man, well, that's just so far away. And then lo and behold, it's here. You know, it's like JR, he turned 81 yesterday. I said, how'd that happen? You know, boom, like that, you know, little by little, and you found yourself at 81, still looking good, wearing a suit, dressed in a pink shirt, and his wife is, look at that. She's got it all happening for him. Yeah. Time goes by, you know, and some of us would go, no, not 2018. Do you know how old I will be this coming year? You know, we're afraid of that number. Some of you are like, no, don't turn the calendar yet. I didn't even start my resolutions from 2017. You know, this big, you know, deferred, you know, delayed list kind of thing. Some of us, you know, man, 2017 can't end soon enough. This has been a really bad year. Well, let me share some good news with you. Just because the calendar page turns doesn't mean everything changes in our life. Okay? So take courage. You know, I'm here for good news. And I want to talk a little bit about the calendar and this idea of New Year's. And I'm going to give you some little snippets of history. Okay, about some different calendars. And then I'm going to bring this around to maybe a reminder, a point that we need to consider that isn't based upon our calendar. And yet it's a natural time for us to thank God for his faithfulness over this last year, whether it's been hard or not, and allow us to take some inventory, but also to express our request and our faith in the Lord, and maybe a renewal of stepping into the beginning of 2018. You know, I don't know if you know this, but we operate by a Gregorian calendar. Back in 1582, there was a pope, Gregory VIII, and I'll put this in layman's terms because that's the only way I know how to do it, because I'm a pretty simple man. He got together a bunch of educated, smart guys and took all this information down, and they came up with a calendar that seems to work based upon maybe a couple of other calendars that were in operation, and kind of merged them together so that they would work. And so, you know, one of the beauties of this for us is that we can plan stuff. If those of you who are planners and control freaks, I mean people who like to control, I mean, not control freaks, but you know, you like to just know and have it planned, and spontaneity is not your strong suit. How's that? Okay, too late. I've already bothered, you know, half the crowd. Is that we're able to plan things. I mean, you can look at, you know, what is Palm Sunday in 2024? You can forward in your calendar and you can, boom, you can look at the date of that. And so the other thing is this Gregorian calendar that we operate by, so there's this convenience of being able to plan. A calendar that we're just used to, that we look at and think, you know, the whole world operates on this, and you know, maybe you don't know all the history about it, and I'm not here to tell you all about it. But, you know, there are some benefits that we just kind of like. You can say, you know, I'd like to meet with you in a few months, and here's a month, and here's a day, and here's a time, and you can put it on there, and there's no variables other than, you know, if an emergency comes up, you have to cancel or change it. But it's on the calendar. And, you know, that's kind of nice. It's convenient. And we have an appreciation for it. But I want you to know that's not the way it's always been. And I want us to look at this because you know, as we look at New Year's and celebrating New Year's, I mean, is it a biblical thing? Or is it just something our culture does that we look at and say, you know, the world celebrates New Year's Eve in a totally different fashion than, you know, maybe we do as believers, you know, in kind of a wild life and partying opposed to, you know, doing things and enjoying life and family and friends and all of that and festivities and celebrations that are more becoming to those who proclaim Christ. And so you may think, well, I don't really celebrate New Year's, or, you know, maybe you're super spiritual and you just think, well, you know, I don't celebrate New Year's, real Christians don't. And, you know, we just have different views. And I want to remind you, you know, what Paul says in Romans 14, he says, you know, to one person, one day is more holy than another day, and to someone else. And he just kind of puts it in terms of, you know what, don't major on the minors. Every day with the Lord is a holy day. You know, every day, this ongoing journey and walk with him, it doesn't take an event or a calendar date to all of a sudden get our attention and say, gee, you know, I think I probably need to repent now. Or, you know, I need to really be holy now because these are holy days, or some event. You know, there are times where we set ourselves apart maybe more than others, but every day, you know, the changing of a calendar should not determine how we're going to live for the Lord. It's every day and a personal relationship and a personal walk with him. And so, you know, I'm not trying to rob us of the joy of New Year's and celebrating it. I think there's a celebration that's appropriate, and inventory, as I mentioned, over the last year and God's faithfulness, and expressing our hope, and, you know, a transition point on the calendar. It can kind of help us in the way of renewing something, saying, you know what, I'm going to change some things. And, you know, it's just a time to maybe look at that. But wasn't always, you know, you need to know January 1st has not always been New Year's Day. December 31st has not always been New Year's Eve. If we were to look back in biblical history, and you would find this mentioned in Exodus and Leviticus, I think, and Deuteronomy and some other places, the Lord would speak and he would share with his people, and out of this came this Jewish calendar. Okay, and this Jewish calendar was related to two things, okay? And it's interesting that this Jewish calendar was related to the two things it was related to. They call it Abib, because understand that New Year's Day in the Jewish calendar is not January 1st. It's at the very end of March and the very beginning of April. Was usually, there's a little window of time there that their New Year's was celebrated. And you can find these in Scripture, but and they called it Abib. And what that means is, just so you know, because their calendar was related, as I mentioned, to two things. This is the first thing it was related to. Abib talks about the final stage of barley that is just about to get ripe. And at that point, they are watchful because that's when their New Year's was. Didn't have to do with a calendar date determining it. Their calendar was started and based upon, their calendar year and New Year was based upon that which God had control over. I mean, you know, you can buy 45-day corn and 60-day corn and 90-day corn and plant it and all of that. And round about that time. But there are some variables, you know, weather, temperatures, you know, rain, being dry, whatever. It affects some of that. So in the sense that what God has created, and we'll talk just briefly about, you know, the Creator's calendar. And this is how the Jewish calendar operated, if you look back in biblical history. And the other thing that in biblical history that was tied to this Jewish calendar and New Year's being in the spring, at the end of March, early April. By the way, I'm not on a movement to change it back to that, so please don't, you know, buy me a t-shirt and print something up about, you know, I'm on a new movement to change our calendar. That's not it. But I'll tell you what, I have an appreciation for New Year's being in the spring, although you and I, you know, we would, I don't even know how we'd wrap our mind around that, but, you know, it's kind of like winter has ceased and spring has started, you know. It's kind of that time of celebrating that, you know, the cold, winter, where stuff kind of dies and goes dormant, and then all of a sudden it starts getting green again. It's like, hey, this is a new year. It almost equates to our life. You know, we were cold and dead and in sin, and Christ came and brought life, and now we become green and fruitful, and, you know, it just kind of seems to fit, you know. And I'd really be in favor of that. It's kind of hard to put my mind around, yeah, December 31st in Wisconsin, it's minus 11 out. Let's celebrate New Year's, and tomorrow it's going to be minus 11 out. You know, it's just kind of like, yay, you know. Woohoo! So, you know, I kind of like that idea of a New Year's and a change and kind of at a season where fruitfulness starts again. But this Jewish calendar and the month is called Nisan. That would be April, thereabouts. That word, actually, Nisan, it speaks of, it's related to another word, Nitzan, which has to do with the blossom of redemption, which kind of fits with that Abib idea of that time of year where there's green ears on the barley. They're green ears, and they're about to get ripe, and that starts their spring, and that happens on a very date. You know, you and I, we mark it on our calendars because we're in a Gregorian calendar, and we just mark it as March 21st, which is... has to do with the vernal equinox, which has to do with there's the same, and that on that day, round about that time of year, the daylight hours equal kind of the nighttime hours, the same amount of daylight as there is darkness. And so, you know, that's that time of year, and that this change and the daylight starts to grow and, you know, more fruitful and green and all this stuff, and that we celebrate, that they celebrated. And it was all tied to their calendar. And so this Nisan, this month of happiness, this, you know, blossom of redemption idea that these words come from, and had to do also not just with this barley, but for them, it had to do with a lunar calendar. It had to do with how many times the moon goes around the earth. It rotates around the earth. How many times? It takes 354 days. Well, we have a year that's 365 days. So when all of this was changing, they had to consider all these things. You know, because the solar, which the Gregorian calendar operates off the solar calendar, which is different. That has to do with how many times the earth rotates to go around the sun. That takes 365.24 days. You didn't know I was so smart, did you? Some of you are going, is he pulling our leg, or does he really know this stuff? Well, you have to look it up. But, yeah, so when they worked on these calendars, they tried to merge some of these things, and, you know, and consider all of these things. And so their New Year's was really in what we know as spring, or our fourth month of the year. But that was their New Year's. And there's a significance that goes with all of this in that month, which, by the way, the word month comes from the word moon, which has to do with this lunar effect and the moon and when to start Passover in the spring. You see, for the Jewish calendar, there were times where they had to add days to their calendar. Remember, you know, 354 days. There were times that they had to add basically kind of a whole month or days to their calendar, depending upon when this barley was about to be harvested or get ripe, and also based upon the moon, which they had to watch these two things. When is the Creator who made all of this going to cause these things to happen in a harmonious window so that we can start Passover? We look on the Gregorian calendar, what we operate by, and we can pick Passover. It's on a calendar, it's on a date, but it doesn't necessarily tie perfectly and coincide with the original Jewish calendar. There's a window there. And there's some flexibility there now. For those who are Orthodox Jew, who still observe, you know, these things, they do it differently. I mean, they have to operate with the rest of the world on a Gregorian calendar, but their New Year's is in spring, if they're an Orthodox Jew. And here's the interesting thing. This is the point I want us to grasp. Is you and I, we can hit autopilot and just kind of fly through life and look at our calendar and look at our device and say this day and this month and this time, and we just go and we can plan stuff way into the future. Those of you who are part of business meetings or visionary meetings where maybe you work or where you're employed, or leadership meetings and planning meetings, you're pulling up calendars way into the future. And you can bank on it. See, back in Jewish history and biblical history, they couldn't do that. They had to wait for their year to start based on the barley and the moon and the starting of Passover and their New Year's Day. And then they could plan the rest of their calendar year. But at the end of that year to plan for the next year, they couldn't just pull up a month and a day. They didn't know when their New Year's was going to start. They had to watch. They had to pay attention. And then the leadership from the Jewish community would get together and they would say, sound all the trumpets, sound the alarm that everyone knows that New Year's Day is here and Passover is going to start. And that's when their New Year's would start. They didn't know from year to year when New Year's Day was going to be. They just kind of had a watch. They knew a window of time. Here's the beauty of that. And this is what I'd like us to remind us of. Because we lose sight of this in the calendar we now operate because it begins to bleed over into our attitude and our life, is this. For them, they had to wait on the Creator to set the course for their calendar. They had to wait on the Creator, keep in step with Him, look for cues, for Him to set the order of their plans, their coming days, their festivals, their special times of worship. I want to share a couple of scriptures with you. One is in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. I want to read a few verses here where Jesus is talking about the vine and the branches. Verse 4, He says, "Abide in Me, and I will abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in Me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in Me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." This whole idea of regardless of what's going on or what we've planned, we're supposed to abide in Him. He will abide in us. His words are supposed to abide in us, abide in Me, okay? And out of that, there will be a fruitfulness. In other words, to abide in Him, we have to pay attention to Him. And we want to stay in Him. Here's a verse that goes with it. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, it talks about those who live according to the Spirit must keep in step with the Spirit. Those who live by the Spirit must keep in step with the Spirit. Now, how do we do that? We have to pay attention and look at Him, Pay attention to Him. Get our cues from Him so that when He's moving and what He requires and what He directs, we keep in step with Him. He is setting forth the direction of our life. Who we're supposed to become, what we're supposed to be like, how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to talk, the attitude we're supposed to have, regardless of circumstance, whether it's hard or difficult or if it's easy, it doesn't matter. He is setting the course for us. So when it comes to this calendar idea, in the Jewish calendar, they had to wait on the Creator's calendar to set the course for their life. As we come into this new year, rather than just looking at it as a calendar, maybe it's a time for us to think about this and say, you know, I know the calendar is going to turn the page because I live on this Gregorian calendar. However, I want to set myself apart at the beginning of this year to say, Lord, I want to be reminded that You are going to set the course for my life. You set the calendar for my life. I don't mean that we can't plan meetings. I'm talking about the very nearness of keeping in step with His Spirit, that no matter what happens in our life, it's not going to upset the calendar because I've committed myself, you've committed yourself to allow God to set the course for your life. Hard times come. He set the course for your life, and you will know how to conduct yourself because His Word abides in you. His Word abides in me. I make sure that I pay attention to Him, that I abide in Him. Time can come and go. Calendars, the pages can turn. Ups and downs can happen, but none of it should remove me from being in Him. Because we've committed ourselves to abide in Him, for His Word to abide in us, for us to keep in step with His Spirit, because we have committed that He will set the course for my life. Much like the Jewish biblical calendar, they had to wait on Him, pay attention to Him, and take cues, and all of a sudden, okay, here we go. He's setting the course for our year. I don't want to walk into this next year and say, okay, it's January 1, going to celebrate New Year's Day, going to have a nice meal, maybe have family, friends. I don't know, is there football on that day? Are they watching? Is there football games? Somebody tell me. College, okay. Well, that they don't matter. So, no, I'm kidding. I'm joking with you. And is there like a parade or something too? New Year's Day parade or something? There is? Yeah, okay. So, you know, you may plan your day or whatever, and then it's like, well, then it's back to work and back to school and back to, and you know, and I appreciate those things. I mean, I've got a schedule, I got a calendar. But I would, underneath all of that, I want the foundation to be that God is setting the course. We're waiting on Him. This isn't about just the turn of a calendar page, turning the, you know, from last year to the new year. This is an attitude and a mentality and a conviction that now I want to pay attention to God's cues in my life because He's setting the course for this next year in me. I want us to be reminded on this New Year's of an ancient calendar and how people used to live. That this new calendar can rob us of, because we know when New Year's Day is. We know the calendar. We know all the dates and the festivals because we just put them on the calendar now. But back in the ancient times, they had to wait on God and watch for Him and what He created to give them cues of when He says the new year starts and He would set the course of their life. So as you step into this new year, I don't want it to just be resolutions for for you and I. Because as a believer, every day is resolutions. I don't have to wait for the end of this year and turn into the new year for me to say, okay, well, now it's time for me to make some changes. When I knew I needed some changes back in September or back in May. Well, I'll wait till the end of the year. Then I'll start my diet. See, now I know we defer some things going through the holidays, you know. I had to work my way through all the desserts in my house. It's like, I should really, you know, but, you know, and not that I'm setting a New Year's resolution, I'm not. But, you know, we defer some things. And we look at the change of a calendar as, well, this is the time for me to make some changes. And I'm glad for that, and I don't think it's a bad thing, but as a believer in Christ, keeping in step with the Spirit, He's telling us all year long of where we need to make changes. We need to resolve and come into agreement with Him over an attitude or how we should live. You see, He's been trying to set the course for you and I in our life and who we should become and how we should live and where He wants to take us. There's some new things He maybe has for you and I. And maybe because we've been operating under the self-auto plan, autopilot plan, we've been getting in our own way because we really haven't been allowing God to set the course for our life. I don't want to rob you of maybe a thing that you enjoy is setting resolutions coming into the new year. It's not like it's a terrible thing, but the whole resolutions thing started actually thousands of years ago, and it started in pagan cultures, actually. When they would come into a new year, they would make resolutions at the end of the year, coming into the new year, hoping that their God, little g, their gods, would be happy with their resolution and change, that they might find favor from their gods. You know, all the way from, oh, we're going to clear up debt and I'm going to return all the farming equipment to those who it really belongs to, and, you know, all the different things that we might go through. And I know in our culture and among us here, if you're a person who makes resolutions, I know it is not out of a pagan motivation. Most of you wouldn't even know that that was part of the pagan history of New Year's. I don't think it's bad for us. I don't want you to think, oh, I'll never make a resolution on New Year's again. That's not my point. Hopefully, our resolutions happen all year long with change because we've made a commitment out of conviction that we want God to set the course for our life. We want God to set the course for our new year. So as we go to communion this morning, you know, we're supposed to examine ourselves. Paul says, judge yourself, not other people. This is not a time to judge other people. This is a time to judge ourselves. Paul writes, it says, judge yourself. Basically, is there anything in my life that I need to ask forgiveness for, that I need to acknowledge to God that is in the way, that He brings to me, the Holy Spirit brings a conviction to me, an awareness to me, that, you know, this has been in the way. Or you think this is acceptable, and it's not that it's terribly bad, but it's getting in the way, and it's kind of altering and hindering the course that God has set for you or your family. Well, now we have this opportunity at this new year, at this table of communion, to examine ourselves and say, God, I need a fresh commitment in my heart to allow You to set the course for my life. For You to set the calendar, the course for this next year, to the point that You will speak to me that I can choose to keep in step with Your Spirit, that I can choose to abide in You, regardless if this year is tough or easy or trials come and go, None of them will rob me from the commitment I'm making today for you to set the course, the Creator's calendar in my life. So as we go to communion, you need to judge yourself, or you need to ask forgiveness. Talk to Him in light of, Lord, I want you to set the course, and I want to be mindful of the course you're setting for me for this coming year.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.